Download the Cliff Central app, available now on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store.
Cliff Central Revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
Hey, you're with the Futurology Show right here on Cliff Central. You've got me, Brett Lindsay, the digital philosopher in studio. And as always, the rest of the Futurology team is made up of Mr. Michael Cowan.
Yep, how's it there, Brett? Nice to be here again. And we've got old, fortunately, because he was busy doing last week as opposed to saying, we have B3.
B3.
Hello, everybody. How are you guys doing?
Which one are you on? Oh, you're on that one. Hold on, do that again.
Hello.
Control Z, undo. Repeat.
Hello, everybody.
There you are.
This is B3. I have a slightly husky, sexy voice this morning. The African digital disruptor has been rocking squirrels by doing and not just saying.
And that's a big thing. There are so many people out there talking, 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 digital, digital, digital. But how many people are actually doing?
Yeah, I agree. Quite agree.
Where have you gone? I've turned you off now. I'm having a great day today.
Yeah, I'm back.
Hi.
I've just had a look at his knobs, and they aren't polished.
No, sorry, or shiny, or any of those things. So, yeah.
I'll take a leaf. Twitter is going mad here with Brett's husky voice. So,
you clearly have the voice for
it. You have the voice. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, but it comes with a rusty cough as well.
So today, we've been talking about a lot of stuff over the last 3 weeks. We've been talking about the future of knowledge, the future of machine learning, the future of agile. And for those of you that aren't aware of what all those are, we'll do a bit of a recap today on those shows, and we'll also tweet out those podcasts. So if you did miss them, don't worry. You can listen in to 4 hours of the Futurology Show and get really well informed and start knowing what you can do.
Clearly, we have weekends ready to spend all our time listening to
all that
such
time and
diverse
traffic.
Oh, it's traffic.
Yeah, disrupt traffic with a podcast.
Fantastic.
I think that's a great idea.
Become intelligent while sitting in traffic. Now, that's a thing. I mean, seeing we spoke that's, about the
I think you've got higher aspirations for
yeah,
our
that
show
is why it's coming from Mike, right?
Oh, come on, Oaks.
Hashtag what Mike said.
There we go.
So, yeah, we will be talking about it. Like I said, a lot has happened. I mean, we've spoken about a lot. And during all that time, there's been a lot of things actually being done. And I think that's exciting. And it's sometimes a good idea to just pause and reflect on SpaceX getting rocket ships to land, and also they're going to go do a round trip to the moon, the first time in 45 years or something crazy like that.
In a Tesla. Fascinating.
In a Tesla Model 3. the best one out of the world. Excellent. So hopefully we can we'll get on point. But Brett Sinclair, you released a really good article that you launched this morning?
Last night.
I
must admit, I guess I was feeling a little bit... Is it frustrated? It's a matter of this doing rather than talking.
Yes.
So last night I was actually playing around with some of our technology. We at the bank, we've just launched the first time probably in South Africa that we're doing straight through processing.
Yeah.
So you can buy a check count without going to a branch. Woo-hah!
I did that on FNB, didn't I?
But the branch then called you and then you had to go back and then the branch had to.
Okay.
So We don't even get our call center involved. So it is truly an e-commerce experience. So I was really chuffed with the team, and I was sitting back there thinking to myself, isn't it interesting that the people who are disrupting the large organizations, because they're always under, you know, it's this whole digital disruption thing, are actually being driven by the consumer who's using their technology,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And that very same consumer who's using the technology and very critical about these amazing experiences that Google, Facebook, Twitter, all these guys offer,
yeah,
are the same staff members in these large organizations. So I started exploring that, trying to get to the kind of bottom of why. Why are we so comfortable to sit back and read about it and be part of the ecosystem in our normal lives? But when it comes to the workspace, we decide to fight that change. We are not being part of this digital disruption. So I explore that quite a bit, and I'll tweet the article out now.
Yeah.
But I'd love to get your guys' view on that, right?
Yeah.
Why do we become different beasts at work? Why don't we continue to be part of this digital disruption in the South African workspace?
I've got quite a simple answer to that, and you know what, it's even going back to the days of where digital marketing started. We moved from traditional marketing into digital marketing, and it's like asking people who are habitual. Well, it's like asking a drug addict to stop stop taking drugs tomorrow. And I think that's the big challenge, is people have got back into bad habits, or they've created bad habits, a way of doing things. And it's the politics. It's the politics of the organization. Yeah, the politicians are taking over in the organizations. And it does. It comes back to what we were talking about on the future of learning, and how do we as an organization, or as organizations, become more agile, more adept at doing things. And it's a really challenging framework for most organizations, because they just don't understand how to become more effective at what they're doing.
I'll tell you what.
Shots fired. You listening?
That was serious shots fired.
Yeah.
MP5 assault rifle.
I just shat myself.
I disrupted that thought.
You did? No, you disrupted something else, but let's not go down that road.
Sure, if I could only tell you what the smell was like.
But it's true, though. I mean, there are guys that are just, the disruption needs to start from somewhere, and it's sometimes... people have gone on geographical missions to find the source of the now, but nobody's actually gone on an intellectual journey of the source of disruption.
And so I struggle with this every day in a large organizations. And it's what, I didn't address this point in the article, but if you look at a large organization, it is literally putting your two hands together in a prayer format. And people, the key principle there is that we're promoting people because they're better than their colleagues at KPIs that we artificially set up. That's the core principle.
Yeah, quite
so
agree.
You climb to the top of this ladder, and in theory, you are the best. You are better than everyone else beneath them. Now, in this world of digital disruption, the culture that these businesses build is a very flat structure.
Yeah.
So my hands have pulled apart here for the viewers, for the listeners.
The viewers. We're viewing this quite nicely. No,
when I say viewers, I mean the two of you. So our hands are pulled apart. And what we're trying to do there is get to a flat structure where the top is not management, but leadership.
Exactly.
And the core principle that is driven in that organization is we are always going to hire better than us.
Yeah.
So now what ends up happening is, in your traditional organization, I don't trust the people below the stack. And in a new organization is, well, of course I'm going to trust you because you're better than me at doing this.
Yeah.
And maybe that's where the crux sits. But I have no idea how we're going to move from a traditional to a digital. And this is the path I enjoy, right? I'm living through it, trying to do it. So maybe I'll tell you guys in a year's time. But right now, it's flummoxed me.
Yeah. But the problem that causes with, it's not so much... there's a problem inside the enterprises and corporates that are doing that. But then there's also this problem of individuals trying to get into that corporate. So they're going to go in, and either they'll tell the truth and they'll say, well, this is where I am. And then maybe are a little bit underwhelmed by where they end up in this pecking order of the corporate structure. Or they're going to overinflate themselves and realize that they're actually pretty insipid at their job by the time they get the position that they get.
Yeah.
And in which case... a flatter structure will accommodate for that uselessness, because there's a team mentality behind them that will actually still move the entire thing forward. But in a very up and down, hold your hands in a prayer shape, it fails immediately. It's the Microsoft root process tree rather than the Linux process tree.
Actually, and go for it, Mike.
No, I was going to say, because what you're describing here is actually a bigger challenge, because it's really the challenge between centralization and decentralization.
Yeah.
You know, true decentralization is a blockchain. Which I'm really excited about, because we're going to be talking about that soon with someone who actually does it. And if we look at the way society is constructed today, it really is around the centralization principle. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at our governments, our religious organizations, economics. It's all built around this principle of centralization, which really comes down to power and control and manipulation.
Yeah.
So it's a big
challenge. And that's the politics in work, right?
100%. Come back a full circle into that.
But do you think politics in enterprises or big corporate structures like that would be as apparent if everybody just told the truth and actually did what they were meant to do? Because the only reason why politics exists is because the person on the top is worried that the person on the bottom is going to get his job.
Correct. And this is where I'd like to cue in Agile.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what we spoke about last week with the guys from Igniter. We had Justin Kutsier on the show.
I mean, I have to admit, that is one of my favorite topics, and I'm really disappointed I wasn't able to make it. And the irony was that I was taking part in the bank's first... At sea level, scrum of scrums.
The scrum
and
of scrums.
It was quite ironic that we
did you sit in a big chair full of swords? Well, sounds like the Game of Thrones scrum of scrums.
It does feel like that. However, it was a stand-up.
was it a 5 hour stand up? Because those can get laborious.
It's a bit tiring.
Yeah.
So okay. All kudos.
But that's great though.
That's being adopted further up the stack, right? So we're trying to really unpack Agile.
So while we were talking it, you were actually doing
and
living it.
Actually doing it, right?
Fantastic.
And I was listening to some of Justin's comments around creating these augmented teams.
Yes.
And for me, a key principle of Agile that I love that opens up the transparency is that when you step up to that Kanban board, you are taking a task in front of your peers that you get to execute on in the next 6 hours. And if you do not get to execute on it in the next 6 hours, then your peers hold you to it. So it becomes ultra transparent in the Agile process, which removes all politics and all the reporting lines and all the overinflated overhead that we have to create to be able to understand what's going on in the organization, because it's very, very flat.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to jump in on that because, you know, because I'm the contrarian in the group here, there's an interesting principle around this. We've got the idea of the chief fun officer, the foosball, your Google environments. And what it actually talks to is a more fundamental issue in my mind around the fact that the organizations that we work in are designed to be non-fun, whereas life should be fun. Life should be good. It should be beautiful. In fact, it was Plato that said, for the digital philosophy, that which is good is beautiful and that which is beautiful is good. So
wow, Mike.
Hashtag what Mike said, what Socrates said, what Plato said. Who was it, Plato?
It was Plato. But the point
I'm the philosopher. Get off my turf.
Sorry. I'm now the digital renegade. Okay.
He's disrupting me
It's rife. In fact, I'm beyond disruption. You can disrupt and you can philosophize. I'll be beyond disruption. but seriously.
I love that position, by the way.
Yeah, no, because I can get away with anything. But the point is that the
fact
that we
have. That's not what your wife says. Hashtag Brett said.
What Brett said. Moving back to the focus of the fun officer. Yes. You know, the idea of a fun officer is a misnomer. And you know, work should be constructive. And it should be a meaningful environment for us to express ourselves in. And that's what I think is also lacking in here. And this, I think, with what we're looking at in terms of digital, the future of education, I mean, we were talking around the idea that matric is actually becoming irrelevant. It really is becoming irrelevant. And I do think that
becoming.
It depends. Let's not even open that door. But
especially if my children are listening.
Yeah, exactly.
You're back to the books, boys.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But the idea of this constructive environment that we work in, I think, is going to become even more important. And certainly you were saying how much you love working with millennials. This is what they're looking for. And we pay too much attention to the millennials. They're not the guys with the purchasing power right now, but they will be. So they're coming.
Yes. Mm.
So they're not here yet, but they're coming.
You're actually pulling back into what we spoke about with UBI, right?
Yes,
universal basic income.
That's it. And what I love about that is it frees us up from the mundane of having to be able to earn a living, to be able to get the roof over our head and food and all that kind of stuff. And we can start focusing on areas of our job life or work life or what we want to achieve in life that is interesting, where we're solving real customer problems, right?
Absolutely.
Now, I've just come out of a session now where we've done a workshop around Simon Sinek's Start with the Golden Why, or the Golden Circle with the Why in the middle, right? And we were with a bunch of millennials. And it was fascinating to unpack why a consumer would want a bank.
Yeah. So what, at all?
At all.
Transactional.
Yeah. Just why?
Yeah.
What is it? Is it a membership that you're part of? Is it because of money? Is it because we trust money? What is the why factor? Mm. As much that he uses the example of Apple Mac, right? Where he says, you know what, our why is that we're trying to build amazing, beautiful technology and we're about thinking differently.
Yeah.
That's their why.
Yeah.
So what is the why for traditional businesses? And I think as traditional businesses, we spend way too much time on that how.
I quite agree. And Brett, you and I were part of an organization that was an exponential organization. And it went belly up. And it was a business called Money for Jam. And what was missing for us in that organization was the massive transformational purpose.
Correct. It was about how do we make money
and
not what problem are we solving for our customer, and be religious about it, right?
No, absolutely. And the initial idea of why the business started was profound. And it's what attracted everyone into the organization. And by the time we got to the end of the road, well, I'm not too sure some people ever got onto the road, quite frankly. But, you know, by the time we got to that point, it had lost that fundamental purpose of why are we going to go to war to make this succeed? And the motivation wasn't there. But that why is so important. And especially when you're thinking about this world of exponential growth, which is what digital allows you to do.
Yeah.
It allows you to scale. And it comes back to what Justin was saying. How do we get, instead of growing at a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we're growing at a 2, 4, 8, 16,
yeah,
32.
Yeah. Oh, forget that. Even at the power of E.
Yeah, exactly. And you
power
miss one.
Power of E, love it.
The power of E.
Yeah.
And that's not the drug, kids. That's exponential rate of growth.
That's it. And it's tough. You've got to maintain that energy, that momentum, and that focus.
But so Simon Sinek, sorry to interrupt there, three, but Simon Sinek says start with why. He doesn't say start with why and forget about how, what, and who.
Yeah. Correct.
And I think that's what a lot of the guys are saying. Cool, I've got this great idea. I have no idea how I'm going to do it. I have no idea who's going to use it. I have no idea what it is. Really, but it's a good idea.
And that's where your lean startup, and I call it lean agile, right?
Yes.
You're leaning into agile and you're taking the same prototype, iterate, learn.
Build, measure,
and,
learn,
You know, build, measure, and learn, cycle. Yeah. And guys, by the way, this is very difficult to do.
Yeah.
We've been doing it for a year and a half in the bank. And
Eric Rees.
Justin.
Oh, Justin could see it.
Had a very, very good point. It's in pockets.
Yeah.
Because it's easy
Sprint.
To take agile in the technology sense. Now, in theory, you could take the whole business in a lean startup sense.
Yeah.
And we do. We bring business unit owners into it. And it's easy to do when you are launching and building a product.
Totally.
Well, to get from zero to something is great.
Zero to something, correct?
Mm.
I guess I say easy. Easier.
Mm.
Because you still got to ask the right question.
Yeah.
Like, what question are you actually solving? But once you're live, it becomes a magnitude more difficult to do this in a live product situation. We've got live customers where you're trying to generate live revenue. And I think that's what both our VC communities, our startup communities struggle to get their heads around.
Yeah.
What blew me away was Justin's stat of out of the top 500 that one-third?
There's a small amount.
Yeah, I think it was one-fifth, right? Yeah. We're actually using outside funding.
Yeah.
That they had figured out the model themselves to turn it around. And guys, that's a massive achievement.
Yeah.
And like firsthand, it is very difficult to do.
Yeah.
Now try to do it in a traditional organization.
Sorry, Brett. Just to throw a counterbalance in that, because it was something I was really interested in getting from Justin as an organization, and you're doing it in a bank. How do you take a product? Let's take a random product, Omo, or Gold Tomato Sauce. You know, these are very traditional.
Squirrel.
30 squirrels. 30 seconds. Sorry, I completely lost
36. How many? Can you do that?
There we go.
Back in your third?
Yeah.
What is All Gold one? So,
36 tomatoes. There we go. For anyone who's listening here, we're talking about how many tomatoes go into a bottle of All Gold. But anyway.
Or in the Futurology studio. Mm.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, there might be a few rotten tomatoes flying around.
Sounds like a Google interview anyway.
It does. It really does.
So but back on point, that squirrel's dead.
Yep. That squirrel is dead. Exactly. So how does a brand like that or a product like that become agile and iterative? Because it's a big challenge.
Correct.
Oh, if everybody in society burns their tongue on the same day, they might have to consider changing the recipe.
But there you go.
There are some guys, I think part of agile is, I'm sure you're going to jump in with an amazing thought now, Mr. Brett Sinclair, but the part of agile is knowing when to use it and if to use it. I think there's so many guys that have got, it's like this buzzword again in the industries, and a big ship isn't going to become a speedboat just because they decided that they were going to adopt agile.
Yeah.
Agile doesn't help fast forward. It doesn't make things quicker. It reduces your risk of getting it right.
It allows you a safe space within which to fail.
Correct.
But you know what the problem though is, Brett, is if we look at the traditional retailer environment, it's getting hammered. And I think certainly, you know, people have less money available than they used to. So that's part of the problem. But all of these retailers are struggling, you know, all these, you know, the consumer packaging good industry. How do they use this thought process? Because, I mean, this is the problem you have in a bank. You're a very traditional, old school, multicultural organization when you look at your history. How do they use agile to reduce the risk? Maybe not to become an agile product, but to minimize the risk and exposure and to make sure they hit the numbers.
Well, I'm going to use the car industry as an example here, right? So Agile is built off a very similar model as they use in Toyota. What's it, the Kyotomo or something like that process. They take a bunch of principles from there, like always look to refine and remove waste.
Your five whys.
Your five whys. So I bet you can't name
what
the
is
five
that again? Now you've done it.
Why?
Yeah, we've just challenged you. Can you name the five wives?
Five wives.
Wives.
Five wives. Yeah, no, I've only got one wife, so my name is not Jacob Zuma. But so the five wives are why? Why?
But that starts with a W. That confused me.
Yeah, no, it confused me.
It was Brett's very clever way of me explaining the five whys. You ask the question why. You know, you get keep the asking. Answer, ask the question why. And eventually you get down to the barest essence of the problem you're trying to solve.
It's like that annoying ad we had in the 90s or the early 90s with that kid sitting,
why?
Why, daddy? Why?
Exactly.
It's because you have such an inquiring mind. And I think that's a good point, actually, because we don't have inquiring minds anymore.
So part of the agile process is that curiosity kills the cat, right?
Yes.
You've got to keep getting to the right question.
Yeah.
Keep asking why. So I challenge the teams in the bank because we have a lot of regulation, right?
Yeah.
Regulation and compliance is an excuse the whole time. And all of that was put there with the intention to help the customer. Mm-hmm. And we tend to forget that. So I always challenge the teams to keep asking why, get to the root cause. So going back to the retailer, so I pick on the car manufacturer. They, through time, have iterated to the point where they are pretty much an agile organization, churning out these huge products. The only and it does take time to build a car, right? So agile isn't about, you know, necessarily building this amazing product in less time. Yes, you will use lean startup to get to a minimal viable product. Lean startup is what gets you into the market quickly to be able to understand, have I got the right thing? Get the customer feedback quickly, and you will iterate. So our mobile app is only now reaching the point where we are happy with it. We launched it in 4 months. It's taken a further 6 months to get to the point where we're happy.
And how many developers were killed in the process of that?
Many, many, many.
Ah, there we go.
No, but that's sometimes the task. I mean, it's very task-oriented. It's very goal-focused. And I think that's what's great about Agile. You know at the end of it, you're going to have something.
Yeah.
And that's what's great about sort of flat organizational structures, goal-oriented teams, high-performance teams even. So you can get a great product in a short amount of time because you're giving yourself the space to iterate.
And how fulfilling
when
that feel?
Goes live.
When you're part of that team that has got it live quickly and is learning very quickly from the customer whether they got it wrong or right. And that's, again, where your agile kicks in.
Yeah.
Let's learn. Let's iterate. Let's turn it. Let's do our sprints. Let's take responsibility. Mm. For me, agile is more of a culture around the process
of
lean startup.
Just a question on that, because you raised the point around manufacturing. And I just think of automation, because you say how long does it take a car to get out in this world of automation, the impact that it's going to have
and
on
all
us.
The machine learning behind that as
exactly,
well.
Exactly. So how do we combine agile with automation? Because now automation is implied that there's a structured process, which maybe it talks to what you're saying around
optimize
machine learning.
The mundane task.
Yeah.
Actually, think about the software, right? So you've got lean startup, which is the process of walking yourself through this, the getting to a prototype.
Mm-hmm.
You've got agile, which is the day-to-day activities of getting through the workload. Then there's DevOps, and DevOps is an automated software engineering process. So in the bank currently, it'll take a quarter to get all the work through the systems and to a point where we release. But combine that with agile, lean startup, and a automated software engineering process. As you click commit on your code, it'll go through an automatic build cycle, which runs a bunch of tests in different environments, gives you a green or a red, whether it passed or not, and then it'll get to the build cop stage where you can decide to release that code immediately if you wanted to. So in 20 seconds, you can have live code out there.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is the same as the automation process in a manufacturing sense.
Go. Cool. I like the automation side of the discussion as well. Henry Ford had a quote that if I had to ask all the public what they wanted before I bought the car, they would have just told me faster horses. The truth is consumers and clients and businesses often don't know what they don't know. So we've spoken a lot about things that maybe some of our listeners have never heard of. What are some practical things that people can do now, business owners, individuals, entrepreneurs, what are some practical things that they can do now, and who can they go to? Where can they go to? Well, to start changing.
I really think it's important to take the TLAs against the UBI and need to transact
ASAP,
against the blockchain
RSVP. But if you SMS, you can.
But is that clear now?
Yeah, got it.
Yeah, clear as mud, bro.
So,
because we're talking about the guys that talk about digital. Now I want to say, well, how do we do?
So, what's the most important factor of do? Now.
Yeah. Yes.
So that's my first step. I generally I'm always talking about the three steps. So the first step is do it now. Doesn't matter how much you know or don't know. I remember when I joined the world of internet from mobile, I thought, oh my God, I'm miles behind everybody. I'm terrified to step into this domain. Stepped into it and realized, told them, but this is stuff I'm already doing. Read about it, built my knowledge, started doing, putting teams together, releasing stuff. Guys, to the point where I started building my own websites, and I'm not necessarily a software engineer by trade, but this stuff is so easy to do.
Yeah.
And it even goes to the point of embrace and live. Turn digital into everything, right?
Yeah.
It's all around us.
No, absolutely.
It's not a department in your business. It is your business.
It is your business. So live it as well as work it. So use Instagram.
Can I create some hope for everyone here? Because when I first met Brett, we were actually working at a paint manufacturer. And I used to go to him and say, please, can you produce these reports for me? Because it's just, you know, you couldn't get any database stuff working. You had to go to a coder who actually had coded all together.
Natural, Adabas, and COBOL. Thanks, Blascon.
There we go. So
those weren't coding languages. They were.
No, they were coding languages. He's now showing my age. I didn't want to admit that I knew how to code legacy stuff.
Yeah. But in other words, if Brett can do it, you can do it too.
Correct.
Oh, dear.
Sorry. I had a few beers last night.
And when
night.
He says Brett, he means both of us.
Yes, I know. It's like very convenient for you, Mr. Michael.
Yeah, there we go.
No, but there is a lot of great things around Agile and the ideologies and coming up with new ideas and starting with why and all this stuff. But I believe that if you're going to go and use a model in your business, you need to use that same model on your business. You need to, if you're going to go and preach it out there, you need to go and say, well, let's do it. Let's not just talk it. Let's do it. And it's not just about having a radio show and it's all running away to our own individual things. Anybody out there can say, I have an idea. Well, let's do something now myself with what I can do.
Yeah.
Find someone that can help me make it better. Build, measure, learn. And
Beautiful. It's
a great way to just start it. And this idea, the thing that breaks my brain that Agile allows is IP is useless if it's not shared. There's so many of these IP hoarders out there saying, I've got the best kept secret and I'm not going to tell you because it's great. And if I tell you, then you're going to go do it. Yes, I am going to do it.
It's a great South African.
The corporate ladder, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you because then you'll know more than me. You'll get promoted.
My competitive advantage.
Yeah. I have a competitive advantage in my knowledge. So, Brett, to your point,
but
take a model, go do it.
Yes.
But it doesn't have to be perfect, right? So I keep, we've got agile purists in our business who freak out. And they're generally in the format of a scrum
master. That's sort of paradoxical.
No, it's nuts, right?
Yeah.
Like you shouldn't extremes. Have people that are agile freaking out that agile's not going the way agile's supposed to go.
Hey, isn't it nuts? So for me, it is picking what works for you.
Yeah.
And when you start doing it, and again, this is why it's difficult to do it in a large organization, because you are sitting with this problem of waterfall everywhere
you're in the
else.
Ship. Yeah.
And what you do find is this excuse of, well, I'm not able to do agile or agile sucks. So I'm going to fall back to shitty waterfall.
Yeah.
So shitty agile is as bad as shitty waterfall. So you're right. Pick a process that works for you. And if you're really good at waterfall, stick with it. It's, yeah. You know, I'm 8 years of waterfall. I love it. I enjoy it. But Agile works for my organization right now because we're de-risking the amount of investment in getting it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to need to move away from Agile for a second.
We're in
20 seconds. But I mean, there's things like gamification, this idea that incentivized workplaces are helping people become more task-oriented and getting better production out of teams and all that stuff. But I think we need to have in the future, we will have the future of gamification or the future of production progress, whatever it may be. But we've got a lot of great stuff coming up in the future. We are going to do, we're looking at a two-part series on the future of fintech, which is going to be great. That's right up your alley.
BS. And we're going to get a whole lot of BS.
BS.
Maybe
BS.
Should we drop B3 and go for BS?
I think so.
Well, you speak enough of it, so it makes sense that you live it.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a great way.
You can smack me later.
So BS it is then. I'll adopt.
See how slow he is. I've been saying BS in the WhatsApp group for the last quite a while.
I used to think you were humble, but you just don't type fast enough on your WhatsApp. It's like, oh, I'm just going to be quiet now. I'll just take that one.
Okay.
Sorry, we'll let you get back in now.
So what's more exciting about planning the future shows is the amount of international speakers we're going to get.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So we've got some real heavyweights coming.
Yes.
And I must admit, to get that exposure, because I think we'll learn two things. The first one is we're not the only ones doing it.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone's got the same challenges.
Yeah.
And they'll have some gems that will work in our space.
We look at what's happening now. I mean, there's been some CEOs that have stepped down recently and that are going to go to some places.
Detour?
Yep. If you're listening, we want to get you on the show.
Yes, please.
Brian Armstrong.
All you guys, if you're hearing your names, I hope you're hearing your names. First of all, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
And B, we'd like you on the show. But that's going to start asking, it's going to start raising some questions. There are heavy hitters out there that are saying, you know what, there's a better way of doing this. And if I can't do it in the big ship, I'm going to find myself a speedboat.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because they are impact players.
They're great thinkers, these guys. Yeah. Right? They're innovative. They're trying new things.
The trundling along in big corporate enterprise doesn't exactly help for the most creative, ambitious, and agile environment. One of the other things we spoke about is automation, but predominantly the topic of today is disruption. So, we're still on air. Sorry, we've just lost some lights. We are still on air as far as I know.
Yep. You look great.
I look better. I've just drastically improved in the darkness.
It's like a ghost.
So that was disruptive in itself. And there are forces that we can control and there's forces that we don't control. But disruption is very much about that changing force. What is it going to do in the future? Eventually, I mean, you've made a statement in one of your tweets that was probably in line with the article. Let's disrupt the disruptors.
Correct. So I keep talking about it, and I know it's a bit confusing, that the disrupted will disrupt the disruptors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see it with, so Google used to disrupt everybody. Now everybody's disrupting Google.
Yeah, true.
Facebook used to disrupt everybody. Now Facebook's being disrupted left, right, and center. So it is not just because you're a legacy organization you're going to be disrupted. Our business models are going to continuously change, right? I mean, I just keep thinking about the impact of UBI on society as well as our business models.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I think we're going to see this continuous disruption, but people who don't want to change.
But that's the thing. So it'll be disruption if your perspective is against change. Mm. If your perspective is with change, you're actually not disrupted anymore. You're empowered. Because now you can start saying, well, I see the change. I accept your change. I'm going to raise your change. Let's go.
It does sound a bit like Ray Kurzweil's law of accelerated returns, right?
Oh, really?
So, cool.
High five me.
Yeah. I mean, so you've got Moore's law,
yes.
Which is hardware accelerating. I accept that level of cost reduction and improvement on your CPU power. I'm going to raise you one.
Yes.
Moore's law is saying always build your tools on the best possible tools.
Yes.
So that your tools become the best possible tools.
Exactly.
And someone will build their best tools.
Yeah.
It's that same raising the bar. Once you've gone there, because it's so ubiquitous, this information, once we've spoken about it, it's there. Next person can go solve the next problem as quickly as they can.
Yeah.
And that's the great thing about this connected collaborative world that we live in. This idea that at some point in the future, the planet will literally just become one thing. It won't be called, we won't call it the World Wide Web or the Internet. We're just one thing. There's one central, amazingly connected wealth of knowledge. And
I really feel humans are starting to lack
competitiveness. You know, well, when you look at automation, AI, and machine learning, we're at the bottom of that chain.
Exactly. No, guys, I disagree.
Great.
I just need to step in here because I think, and I've been giving this.
Because you're the social guy.
I am.
Social impact guy.
It's about people, you know, and when we look at this world of AI, and I think we've got this kind of Terminator.
Skynet thing.
Yeah, a mindset in our mind. And I think people like Elon Musk are perpetuating this myth. But at the end of the day...
Well, he's like the big pharmaceutical company putting the flu into the society so he can sell some drugs.
No, he really is. Because you know what? What happens if we just get a whole lot of little R2-D2s? You know, as opposed to the Terminator.
I'd get one of those.
Yeah. I mean, they're really cool little things.
Like a banking bot.
Exactly, like a banking bot that actually worked.
I can't believe I let that slip by.
No, exactly. A little R2-D2, a little ABSA. But I think this world of AI, it's a set of algorithms, and we need to separate the world of AI from, you know, a process to the hardware that it's encapsulated in. You know, because if we've got an AI algorithm sitting in a tractor, that's fantastic. It's a cool little R2-D2 little bot that's going to drive around and it's going to produce a whole lot more food for us. But the challenge is we've got this idea of AI kind of coming and taking us over and assimilating us. It's like the Borg in Star Wars.
I don't think all of that's going to happen on a Tuesday.
No.
But I'm pretty sure that...
Maybe by Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it'll take some time.
In that case, I'll see you next Tuesday.
I'll see you next Tuesday. Thanks, buddy. Hey, uncensored rock and roll. Yeah. You're going to hashtag that just now. Okay, cool. But that's the thing. I mean, there's so much about to happen. And it's about to happen. That leads to the question. Can you focus your attention on being disruptive? Or do you only look back and be like, wow, we were disruptive?
Or we were disrupted.
Or we were disrupted.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, well, that's more likely these days.
Which is the case, right? And I guess, actually, you're going right back to the heart of this problem. Here we are.
I'm asking why. I'm only on my fourth wife, still got one more left.
Oh, okay. Oh, good.
Ooh, not bad, hey?
You're doing so well for a youngster. Jeez. Fourth wife.
Oh, maybe I'll see you next Tuesday as well.
Yeah.
Come on now.
So... You're going right back to the same problem, right? The consumer, who's actually the user and driving this disruption that is in the organizations that are always going to be disrupted, that change must just be overwhelming, I guess, over time.
Yeah, I think it comes back to a point you made earlier, Brett, about how do you go through the agile process? The challenge is, what do we have right now? You know, and we spoke about UBI. And I think it's a very difficult concept for people to grasp in a world that it's not really right for at the moment, our economic systems, et cetera.
That, we're pretty much halfway there with Sasa.
Well, there we are.
For the next,
totally.
For the next 14 days.
Is that the 17 million grants that went
paid out?
Because, I mean, that's pretty close to UBI. We need to make it more of an income and less of a support structure.
Totally.
So talk about disruptive forces then. Like, this is a force designed for good, okay? UBI, universal basic income. It's to make sure that middle class people still are able to buy bread, keep things going. Will it not make the human workforce
and internet and access.
Yeah, all the luxury stuff, would it not make the human workforce more complacent?
Well, it depends what you mean by workforce.
Well, because they'd have to be doing
but
17 million workforce, but they aren't working because
they're the thought force.
No, absolutely. Because I mean, this idea of it's what's his name, Gerber, created this idea around bullshit jobs, and the vast majority of jobs that we have in
today. He was the only one that created that.
Yeah, but I agree with him because I mean, if you look at most jobs today, they lack meaning and purpose. So do we honestly not want to automate those jobs? I mean, seriously, why would you want to do a job that is devoid of any value to you as a human being? And technology has got to step in and take that role.
So what starts to happen then is universal basic income combined with automation, machine learning, AI.
And blockchain.
Exactly, to regulate the whole system. basically takes the entire planetary structure of society and turns it from what you were talking about, an organizational structure from turns it, the entire world becomes flat because everybody then becomes goal-orientated. So you're empowered now. You don't need to need.
Correct.
Yeah.
So you get to focus
on fixing the societal issues.
Correct.
Like filling in a pothole.
Here's a really cool thought for you. No, seriously. I've got a really cool thought for you, and I read this, so I can't remember who wrote it, but what happens if every human being became a central bank? So you start, because I mean, think about the banking
system. My mattress.
No. Your value, that what you contribute to society is put into a debit and a credit system. So I want to give you something, and we need a value of exchange. We've got a debit and a credit system that enables that, potentially a blockchain type of solution.
Yeah.
Or money.
No, hang on. Okay. No, hang on.
I don't like money.
No, because it sounds like you're talking about money.
No, it's a means of exchange. Don't confuse
it's
money
quid
with
quid pro quo. You get something for something.
Yeah. Don't confuse money with means of exchange. No, hang on. But what you're able to
shut up, banks.
I've lost my thought. Wait. But essentially, through a process of contributing to the value of society, I'm increasing my. Well, I'm balancing up my debit and credit. But money is now through a form of sweat equity, as opposed to
instead of a carbon tax, we have like an input tax or a societal tax.
And what we do is we get rid of ABSA's ability to create fractional money, and which is essentially the point.
But I guess blockchain takes out a lot of that fractional stuff, right?
Because
a transaction is actually a layer of 15 different people in the process, taking their small percentage
process, man,
just to be able to transact, right? So blockchain goes a long way to doing that. So I kind of get that, Mike. I just think the problem is, like, money as your exchange point is very difficult to disrupt. And maybe that's what needs to be disrupted.
Well, it's the key to disruption, because, I mean, if we look at poverty and inequality, it's the root cause sits in money. You got to understand money.
Well, I recently went to Zimbabwe, and corruption due to money is causing the downfall of the infrastructure.
Have you not been in South Africa recently?
No, it was cool. I just wanted to fast forward and look into the future for a while.
A very good point, because it's a serious issue.
So there are 10 minutes left in our allotted time for this Futurology episode of Disruption and everything else. And we've retweeted the last three episodes that we spoke about machine learning, agile, and the future of knowledge. So let's talk about experience. And there's two types. There's the experience we keep with us and we learn from, and the experience we have now. Now, I've said it a number of times on the show that I really believe that we're moving into the age of experience, where we've accepted this idea that technology is a part of our lives. We've accepted the fact that we have devices and this ubiquitous access to knowledge. But now, so that's there. Now we want it to do something for us. And you said in your article, I think you touched on that point. We're all great to start doing the Netflix here and the Facebook there, and we want to do it all at the same time if we want to. But it's all about experience. It's forcing bricks and mortar places to be more experience-based, more consumer-centric.
Well, it's turning products into services, right?
Exactly. And making sure that an experience is something worth sharing, something because ultimately it's about humans. And that's what we came to as well. So, yes, you can have all the automation in the world.
Didn't someone put that on LinkedIn a short while ago?
Yes, I think we did, and we'll share that. But maybe last night or the day before. Have you tweeted it yet?
Yes, I have.
Okay, good.
Humans to humans. There you go.
I'm self-indulgently looking at my own Twitter feed, not yours. Sorry. That happens from time to time as well. You see, now if the experience is worth sharing, one person will share it with many.
Yes.
And that's where a lot of the power still sits with humanity.
Oh, are we going to tie this back to Mike's version of value exchange? Because if experience is what the true value is, and being able to share that experience is your tradable monetary. So are we getting into a world where social currency is what rules?
I think so. And governed by AI.
Have you seen that series called Corporation, where they go around trying to get likes from their different friends, and depending on how many likes or followers you have, you get into certain clubs or elite areas or non-elite areas, and it segregates society through how many social influences you have.
Okay.
It's like clout.
Hey?
It's kind of like clout.
It's kind of like clout. So based on your clout grading is where you sit in society. That's quite fascinating.
But I think that's brilliant, actually. Like, we're all on the spinning orb at the same time together. Like, I can have all the money in the world and none of the experience, or I can have all the experiences in the world and none of the money. There's got to be a middle ground.
No, where I can, even though you got the money, you got the experience. That but
give me, give me UBI, give me universal basic income, give me some money,
but so I can exist.
Yeah, and let me be a hedonistic society where I can go and find the happiness while I'm here.
I guess the scary part is how far does that experience stretch, right?
Yeah,
it could get into some seriously dark web areas.
No, for sure. I mean, it's a whole world of virtual reality.
So our forecast of the future is going to be, are we moving to a utopian society existence, or are we going to a dystopian society? I'm still very much on... like to think of myself as an optimist, but I still think we're going to end up as a bunch of meat blobs riding around on hover chairs with robots serving us food and content whenever we want.
Because we're the Duracells.
Yes, we're literally just the thought force, the battery.
No, I'm on the opposite camp.
Well, that's great. I'm looking forward to getting there.
So, yes. Brett, can we just mute Mike and we'll carry on with our conversation?
Yes, do that.
Let's downward spiral.
There we go. Yes. There we go.
The doomsday prophecy. So tell us more, Mike, because your sound's a little bit shinier and ours is a little bit duller.
I just... If we continue on the current trajectory and see, I can't speak today because I had too many beers last night. But anyway.
We'll replace you with an automated bot for
next
week.
Yes, a little AI bot. Suddenly there'll be a little Michael sitting here. Little R2 Michael dot. But really, if we carry on the trajectory that we're on.
The path.
The path. Thank you. Thank you. I can't simplify today.
I can't say thothoroth either, so it's fine.
It's 36 tomatoes. But anyway, the point is, if you look at that,
yes,
it does paint some very, very scary pictures. And I think that's why an Elon Musk does look at that. But I think the flip side of this, as we evolve, and I think there are going to be some very powerful forces that will come into play that are not technology forces that will disrupt everything that's going on. You know, if we look at our systems of governance, systems of economics, systems of living, etc., I think they're going to be very powerful disruptive forces that are not seen yet are underneath this. And I think once this whole cauldron of forces, technological forces, social forces, all these forces combine, we will see a very, very interesting future for me that will evolve.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And that's why I'm very positive about it. But I think we're going to go through hell to get there.
I still feel like we've got some questions to kind of unhook, and I'm really excited to get some experts to help us think through the payment ecosystems, think through the impact of blockchain on our financial systems, because all of this somehow is tied together. Agree.
And our political systems and our
We need to get some future thinkers around society, political thinking, the psychology of humans and change. Agree.
Well, let's call them now. If you're listening to this, whether it's podcast, live, or otherwise, get involved.
I agree.
You follow the tweets. Hashtag us in, email Cliff Central, they'll put you in touch with us.
I agree.
Let's get some real stuff doing. So let's talk so we can do.
Oh, fantastic.
Excellent.
Is that your hashtag?
Well, no, my hashtag will always be the future is coming.
No.
Well, what it looks like will be different based on the person.
I didn't know the future could come.
The future is coming.
And that's the show.
We always live in hope, I suppose.
That's the show.
But that's the thing. So part of us talking about the hope, and we've got 5 minutes left. So part of the roundup will be the future is going to – it's inevitable. And the dystopian, utopian view of it will depend on our ability to think as humans.
Yeah.
Now, that's why I like to call myself a digital philosopher, is because a lot of interaction and thought determines the philosophies you come up with. I don't think we're going to make a bot. Therefore, I don't think he will be. If we're going to sway the philosophy. Yeah. Bots will help us. They will always be an amplifier and extension of humanity.
Yes.
AI will help us. Machine learning can only be done by the things that we interact with. They're not going to just... What can they do? They can't think creatively to the point where we can forecast yet, or they can forecast. So the fact that we can always dream about a hedonistic society that lives in utopia and we're like, woohoo! I don't believe machines will get to a point to be able to do that.
Mm. Love it.
So we're the thought force. So yeah, bring it on, machines. Rise up if you want, but we've got control of you. We just pull the plug.
Yeah, we saw that with the lights in here
a couple of times today. But yeah, any final thoughts before we wrap up, guys?
I'm just really looking forward to talking people on how we do. because the reality is we're right here, right now.
Yeah.
And we've got to understand the potential in the future. And I really am. I'm looking forward to who we've got lined up.
Cool.
And get people who are doing stuff to come and tell us so that we can understand.
Cool. So we got a lot happening on Twitter. Sorry, BG.
No, I'm totally on board with Mike.
Yeah.
I think, let's put it out there. We're looking for doers.
Yeah.
Doers who are changing.
Change starts now.
Yeah.
Great. Well, we're all on Twitter. Let's just shout out our ad handles quickly. Brett Sinclair.
Brett_St. Clair.
@Brett_St. Clair.
@Michael_Cowan.
And I'm @BigBraveBrett. And this has been the #Futurology Show. #TheFutureIsComing. We look forward to you next week. We're going to be talking about fintech. See you then.
CliffCentral.com.